I want to talk to you tonight about something that is part of the arguments for evolution are outdated and often illogical. And the point that I want you to understand here is this: this was made up in the first place. It was invented deliberately. And yet, even today, you'll find in some of the textbooks that this is mentioned as if everybody knows it's true. The fact that I want you to understand here is that evolution keeps itself going in spite of all the evidence against it. It is just unthinkable that it would be creation. Just not going to accept that, so even this ridiculous theory, we're going to take it. It's called embryology. Evolutionists have taught for over a century that an embryo develops. As it develops, it passes through stages that mimic an evolutionary sequence. In other words, in a few weeks, an unborn human repeats stages that supposedly took millions of years for mankind. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but if you read about it in the general works, you'll come across this. This is that there's the fish stage, there's, you know, so on. A well-known example of this ridiculous teaching is that embryos of mammals have gill slits because mammals supposedly evolved from fish. Yes, that's faulty logic. In reality, embryonic tissues that resemble gill slits have nothing to do with breathing. Neither gills nor slits. Instead, these embryonic tissues develop into parts of the face, bones of the middle ear, and endocrine glands. Have nothing to do with breathing, nothing to do with feeding oxygen to you. So it's not passing on the evolution. Now, embryologists no longer consider the superficial similarities between a few embryos and the adult forms of simpler animals as evidence for evolution. Let me show you this. Paul Ehrlich and Richard Holm in The Process of Evolution says, "This generalization was originally called the biogenetic law." Wow, that was impulsive. "By Haeckel, and is often stated as ontogeny, meaning the development of the embryo, repeats, phylogeny, which they mean changing of the phylum of the evolution. This crude interpretation of embryological sequences will not stand close examination, however. Its shortcomings have been almost universally pointed out by modern authors, but the idea still has a prominent place in biological mythology." And they're okay with that. You know, oh well, we still find it there. George Gaylord Simpson, William S. Beck, Life and Introduction to Biology. "It is now firmly established that ontogeny does not repeat phylogeny." And the "not" was in emphasis and it was in the original. Gavin De Beer, in An Atlas of Evolution, says, "The enthusiasm of the German zoologist Ernst Haeckel," we've heard the name before, Haeckel is kind of a funny name. "However," his partner was Jekyll, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but "however, led to an erroneous and unfortunate exaggeration of the information which embryology could provide. This was known as the biogenetic law, and claimed that embryology was a recapitulation of evolution, or that during its embryonic development, an animal recapitulates the evolutionary history of its species." Again, Gavin De Beer, in a different book, says, "The theory of recapitulation has had a great and, while it lasted, regrettable influence on the progress of embryology." Regrettable, because people were going directions that were just false. Walter Bach, Evolution of the Orderly in Science magazine, said, "Moreover, the biogenetic law has become so deeply rooted in biological thought that it cannot be weeded out in spite of its, quote, having been demonstrated to be wrong by numerous subsequent scholars." They just like it. It sounds good, see? Keith Stewart Thompson, ontogeny and phylogeny recapitulated, American scientist. Surely the biogenetic law is as dead as a doornail. Dead as a doornail. And I'm pretty sure doornails are dead. It turns out that this error was intentionally created to bolster the theory of evolution and, of course, enhance the career of the dishonest scientist. Ashley Montague, as quoted by Sunderland, says, "The theory of recapitulation was destroyed in 1921 by Professor Walter Garstang in a famous paper. Since then, no respectable biologist has ever used the theory of recapitulation because it was utterly unsound, created by a Nazi-like preacher named Haeckel. Ernst Haeckel, by deliberately falsifying his drawings, originated and popularized this incorrect but widespread belief. Many modern textbooks continue to spread this false idea as evidence for evolution." So Haeckel, who in 1868 advanced this biogenetic law that was quickly adopted in textbooks and encyclopedias worldwide, distorted his data. A person named Thompson, and as I first put this together, I didn't add that in, W.R. Thompson, says this, "A natural law can only be established as an induction from facts." That means you have to have a bunch of facts. You finally put it together, and inductive reasoning says, then all these individual things mean this larger thing. That's induction. Haeckel was, of course, unable to do this. What he did was to arrange existing forms of animal life in a series proceeding from the simple to the complex, intercalating, inserting imaginary entities where discontinuity, I knew I'd get it, existed, and then giving the embryonic phases names corresponding to the stages of his so-called evolutionary series. So, he took simple to complex, arranged the drawings, and where they were missing, he just invented something and put it in there, giving it a name, as though he had discovered it. Cases in which this parallelism did not exist were dealt with by the simple expedient of saying that the embryological development had been falsified. When the convergence of embryos was not entirely satisfactory, Haeckel altered the illustrations of them to fit his theory. This one doesn't actually show what I want, so I'm going to change the way it looks. The alterations were slight but significant. The biogenetic law, as a proof of evolution, is valueless and embarrassing. Pittman said to support his case, he, Haeckel, began to fake evidence. Charged with fraud by five professors and convicted by a university court at Jena, he agreed that a small percentage of his embryonic drawings were forgeries. He was merely filling in and reconstructing the missing links when the evidence was thin, and he claimed unblushingly that hundreds of the best observers and biologists lie under the same charge. He says, all of us do it. Hundreds of us do it. Let me just say to you, if you're being convinced by the evidence of evolution, it's likely not even true. Fix said, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, meaning that in the course of its development, ontogeny, an embryo recapitulates, repeats the evolutionary history of the species phylogeny. This idea was fathered by Ernst Haeckel, a German biologist, who was so convinced that he had solved the riddle of life's unfolding that he doctored and faked his drawings of embryonic stages to prove his point. Can't find the evidence, I'll just make it up. Stephen Jay Gould, dealing with this, says the German scientist Wilhelm Hicks, accused Haeckel of shocking dishonesty in repeating the same picture several times to show the similarity among vertebrates at early embryonic stages in several places of Haeckel's book. He says, you keep showing us the same picture as though it's new evidence. Michael K. Richardson, as quoted by Elizabeth Panisi, Haeckel's embryos fraud discovered in Science magazine, it looks like it's turning out to be one of the most famous fakes in biology. Michael Richardson, Gerhard Cook, question of intent, when is a schematic illustration a fraud in Nature magazine? When we compare his, Haeckel's drawings, of a young echidna embryo, we compare his drawing with the original, we find that he removed the limbs, see figure one, which we don't have the figures. This cut was selective, applying only to the young stage. It was also systematic because he did it to other species in the picture. Its intent is to make the young embryos look more alike than they do in real life. And then finally, Michael Richardson says in Anatomy and Embryology magazine, another point to emerge from the study is the considerable inaccuracy of Haeckel's famous figures. These drawings are still widely reproduced in textbooks. Nobody wants to check this. Nobody wants to say, is there a problem here? Because it fits what they want to say. And review articles continue to exert a significant influence on the development of ideas in this field. These are the scientists saying that it's still being used. So, a lesson to be learned that you can't trust what they're saying because they fake it whenever they can.